This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is Wednesday, September 9th, 2020. Okay, and we moved past Labor Day. That was gone, and it was a nice long weekend. I think everybody enjoyed that. And of course, we're moving towards the fourth quarter. This is the last month of the third quarter, and we'll be in the fourth quarter here shortly, and the summer is ending. So we've been through a lot of weird, unprecedented events here this last year, and they're not over. We still have the election to come, and we're not sure what's going to happen with this COVID virus yet. I don't know if you heard about AstraZeneca today and what they came out with, and I'll talk about that a little more in depth as the show goes on. But the market certainly has demonstrated some volatility. Finally had some down volatility, some pretty strong volatility. You ever notice the market falls a lot faster than it goes up? That's normal. There's an old saying that market takes a take the stairs going up, but takes an elevator coming down. So is our correction over? I mean, it was, you know, it was an okay correction. Remember, I warned that we were going to have some corrections. And I didn't say they had to be 10%. I said they could be 5%. But, you know, this was a little bit bigger than that. But are we over because the market was up today? Don't know. We have to wait. You just don't never know. But you do have to learn to deal with the volatility, though. I'm Steve Peasley. And today in this program and podcast, I will do my best to provide unbiased answers to any of your financial or investment questions, anything financial. Okay, well, I'll help you with strategies, I'll help you with stocks, I'll help you with, you know, anything to do with your financial life, we'll talk about here on the show. The number is 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. The Dow was up 440 points today, the Nasdaq was up 294, and the S&P was up 67. So we had a pretty big bounce today. After some pretty heavy down days. And did you see Tesla went, what, 500 down to, what, 330? What, 3 days? 4 days? That was a big, big, big fall for Tesla. Anyways, that's what we're dealing with. Okay, we do have some talking points, and I will get to them. I want to talk about the COVID vaccine. I want to talk about job openings. And a couple other things, if we can get to them. Talk about big tech stocks, maybe. Anyways, we're ready to hear your questions, and we're going to take questions all day long as we do on our 24-hour, 7 days a week listener line call. So let's go ahead and get started and take our first call.
Hey, guys. I just saw the VIP, ticker symbol VIPS, the VIP Shop Holdings earnings report. It met consensus, but revenue fell. I have a position in it, and I was just curious if it's a buy or a sell, or if I should just hold for now. Thanks.
VIP Shop Holdings Limited, a Chinese online discount retailer offering branded apparel at discount prices and limited quantities. It's an $11 billion company. They do about $3.4 billion of sales a quarter. So that means the price to sales ratio is about 1-to-1, which is a good relationship, actually. They're going to make $1.23 this year and $1.49 to $16.70 stock. And it's holding right above the 200-day moving average. So I see, yes, this is a good, strong support area for the stock at $16.70. It should hold there. The next strong support comes in around 14, then another around 12. But this is a pretty strong support right in here. So, they have management owns 30% of the stock. Mutual funds are buying it. Pretty heavily. Return equity is pretty good at 26%. No dividend. I mean, there's no dividend. Sales and it's slowed a bit. Earnings are still going up nicely, but sales are slow. So it's not a bad price for the company. It really isn't. VIPS, everybody. VIP Shop Holdings Limited Company. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. You're listening to InvestTalk. I'm Steve Peasley. Summer is basically over. But for investors, the need to remain vigilant never ends. It's constant. So there's a lot of crosswinds, a lot of volatility. You gotta have a lot of risk tolerance for some of this stuff. So, and you have to learn to manage your fear and greed. You got relatives who can't do that a lot. Calling me up, oh, the market's falling apart. Yeah, it's not falling apart. You just got to manage your fear and greed. So maybe we can do better managing risks by balancing and rebalancing your asset portfolios. That job requires information, effective strategies, you know. And you can deal with volatility if you have effective strategies to balance, manage your risk, and understand your risk. So let's talk about it. Your participation is important. Always part of the mix. We are taking your calls live, 888-99-CHART.
It's been another Investor Wednesday, and we've all seen the market move up, down, and all around. It's called volatility, and you'll have investment and finance questions for Steve and Justin. They welcome your calls now. Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Sandra in Washington, D.C. She wants to talk about Microsoft. Sandra.
Yes. Hi.
How you doing?
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
So I recently invested in Microsoft, and I was doing just fine, but as with the other tech stock, it dropped. But I know that Microsoft, in general, is just a very strong company. But I was wondering if the TikTok deal doesn't go through, just what can we expect to see with Microsoft? Like, can we see it trending lower than it has been? I saw, like, at lowest it was around 202. Is it possible it can go any lower than that?
About 200 is a pretty strong support area. Can it go lower than that? Yeah, the next really strong support area comes in about 185. Now, can it go there? I think it can. I don't know if it will, but I think it can. But you're right. Microsoft is a very strong company. So, Sandra, I would put it in a drawer and leave it alone. I wouldn't worry about it too much. It's one of those, it's going to be a blue chip strong company for a number of years. Will it continue to go up? I could see it go sideways for a while. I mean, I think I could go sideways for 6 months or a year. I was holding on to, I bought Apple in 2008, and for 2 or 3 years, it didn't do anything. My clients were getting upset that it wasn't going up. It wasn't doing, it was just getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper because the earnings kept coming in. So Microsoft is a little expensive right now, but I certainly wouldn't get rid of it. I really wouldn't, Sandra. I think this is a good support where it is, and it might go down a little bit more, but I can't see it getting that much weaker. Sandra, thanks for the call. My focus point today concerns the story, why the Fed's new inflation policy could backfire. An analyst is making this call because a key 10-year measure of inflation expectations has nearly quadrupled since March, and commodity prices are really shooting up. What do you think gold is? That's a commodity. So the dollar has fallen to a near 3-year low. So is he right? Will the Fed's inflation policy really backfire? Well, we're going to talk about that. We really are. I want to make some points about that. But first, let's take a call from Steve in San Jose. Steve.
Hi, Steve. I love hearing the show. I had a question on TPL. I've been seeing oil and gas hasn't been doing so well these past few months due to demand issues. What do you think about this stock?
Okay, let's take a look. This is Texas Pacific Land Trust, TP is on Paul, L is on Larry. Sells leases and manages land in the U.S., also retains oil and gas royalties. Doesn't pay any dividend, though. They're going to make $19.27 this year per share. Now, last year they made $41, so obviously the earnings have almost cut in half. Next year, it's going to go up about 8% to $20.84, and it's a $508 stock. So that tells you the PE is what, around 400. So it's pretty up there. It's like 25, 30 PE. But return on equity is really high, 85%. So, but their sales recently, last 2 quarters, have really tanked on them. 50% down in March, and then in this June quarter, and then 37% shrinkage. So there's sales. So if you're asking me, will it recover? I'm sure it will. It will with the economy recovery. That's what will happen, because what will happen is economy recover, and then you're going to see oil prices stabilize and start to move up again, and that will probably benefit this company very, very well. So, because they make royalties on oil, so they need to higher oil prices. That's one of the things they do. You know, they sell and lease. So if you own it, you know, it will recover, but, you know, it's not cheap. It's not like it's got cheap because earnings have fallen so hard. You're going to have to wait for the recovery of the earnings. So that is going to happen. It's just going to take a while. My focus point today, why the Fed's new inflation policy could backfire. And it's pretty simple. Remember, the Fed's new policy is, well, we're going to let inflation run when it comes or when it shows up. We're going to let it run for a while. That's kind of their kind of hands-off, because it's been so low for so long. This is their thinking, that it's probably going to overheat for a while. And if you combine those two time periods, where it's been long, so below normal, and so we can let it run above normal for a while, and we're not going to do anything. That's kind of their policy. New policy, by the way. And the reason why it could backfire is because if the economy starts to heat up again, they're not going to do anything. And once you let inflation get started, it's very difficult to stop it. You have to take drastic measures sometimes to stop inflation. If the question is, are we going to have an inflationary pulse? Well, the dollar's gone down, so we already have some inflation, but not very strong because the economy is fairly weak and employment's not that strong, so we're not worried about inflation at this point. But we're starting to see little signs of inflation come in, but the Fed is going to let it go. Not going to care. That means they're going to leave interest rates very low for a long time. We really don't know. This is a new change. We knew that if inflation started to peak above, 3%, they were going to jump right on top of it and start raising rates and kill inflation. This time they said they're going to let it run. And can it backfire? Well, I remember the last bad inflation we have in the 70s. And the trick is once it got started, wages would go up, prices of goods and services would go up, wages would go back up, prices of goods and services would go up, and the oil went up because OPEC were controlling it, and gold prices shot up. I mean, and it was hard to stop. It was hard to stop. So that's the big fear. Can they stop it when they need to, when it takes a hold? Remember, they're going to let it run. We just don't know how long. We just don't know. Justin and I very much appreciate your loyalty, by the way, everybody. You know, here on InvestTalk and at my company, KPP Financial, based in Irvine, we operate with a philosophy of independent thinking and shared success. You know that. We mention it all the time. We give unbiased guidance. We practice parallel investing, where I buy the same things as my clients, same price, same percentages. And we can help you. We want to help you. So I encourage you to take advantage of our offer to provide free portfolio review assessments. We can do it via telephone, Skype, or Jive. Just send us a message to investtalk.com, or you can call KPP Financial, Irvine, California. Be happy to do that. And we're headed into a break here, so time to give me a call. Ask your questions. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. 888-992-4278.
You are listening to Invest Talk. Every Friday on the program and the podcast, Steve Peasley shares highlights from the newest edition of the KPP Premium Newsletter. Listen Fridays to Invest Talk. And now, Steve and Justin welcome your calls and questions. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Love to talk to you again. 888-99-CHART. Call us anytime you want. Let's talk to Lou. She's in New York. Wants to talk about Nokia. How you doing, Lou?
Hi, good, thanks.
Okay, Nokia.
Nokia, N-O-K.
It seems to be underperforming a little bit, but I wanted to know your thoughts about it for the future.
Okay, let's take a look at it. Nokia Corporation, of course, it's out of Finland. Finnish developer of telecom infrastructure, mobile brand, broadband technologies, and digital map networks. Let's see. Well, the earnings are, the sales are still shrinking. They've been shrinking for four quarters in a row. In the last six out of last eight quarters, their sales have been shrinking. Earnings are perking up. So they're getting a little bit more efficient. 29 cents a share this year. They're going to make 35 cents a share next year. It's a $4 stock. So that means, you know, there's no reason to pay a 2.1% dividend. They have a, they don't have a ton of debt, but they don't have any growth engines. They have, you know, what they have is people are expecting underperformance from Nokia, and they're performing okay. So that's what they have. But I don't see any reason really to own this stock. There's nothing to give it. There's nothing in the works that tells us to, you know, earnings are growing, profit margins are increasing. Nothing like that that I see. And mutual funds are still selling it. So it's probably not going to do much, Lou. I'd probably stay away from it. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Nokia. Kia. Now, did you hear about the vaccine that's on its way from AstraZeneca? And that was kind of one of the leading companies. Remember, there's like 120 companies with vaccines in the process, phase one, two, or three, and like 20 of them in phase three trials right now. And AstraZeneca is one of them, and one of the ones that we're high on. It's an agreement between AstraZeneca and University of Oxford. They're in phase three, meaning they're doing human trials. That's what phase three means. And they had a patient that developed serious adverse reaction. What? So they're putting their trials on hold. Okay, that's really bad news for this particular phase three trial. In other words, for them to come out anytime soon, because they're going to have to do a lot more research to find out what was the issue. And remember, phase three usually takes years, not just a few months, but a few years to get through. So everybody's pushing really hard, but AstraZeneca decided to slow it down because of the one person that developed serious adverse reaction. They didn't tell us what it was, so we don't know. But I'm curious as what it is, but they probably won't release that time soon. Now, the next one up is Moderna and Novavax. They have their stock rose because of this, and look, they're two of the leading candidates for a vaccine coming too. So I'm not too concerned, because you know there's going to be problems. Everybody's hoping for a vaccine before year end, and that's the, I think they might have one out by before year end, but probably the more, it might be more reasonable to expect it sometime early next year, you know, some way. And you know what? Let me ask you this. Are you going to take the vaccine when it comes? See, most people won't take it, and they probably shouldn't. I'm not a doctor. I'm not trying to recommend to take it or not take it, because, you know, most people, young people, they, you know, the COVID-19 doesn't affect them nearly as much as people my age, older people. So I think they'll roll it out to people that, you know, really suggest that people my age take it. I probably will. So it's kind of interesting to follow the process and the progress of these vaccines. And I'll keep you posted. I'm keeping a close eye on it and see what's happening. Now, we move fast. I think I'm going to squeeze another caller question before the break. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Guy from Utah. Wondering what you think about holding a basket of preferred stocks like PFF as a substitute for bonds or more high-yielding bonds in a portfolio. Thanks.
I actually am okay with preferred stocks from strong companies. Yeah, preferred, they act like a bond. They pay a yield, so they act like a bond, and they're as good as the underlying company. So you've got to have a strong company that issued it, and they're fine. I have no problem with that being part of your portfolio, part of a normal portfolio. So especially if it's an income portfolio you're shooting for. Have some preferreds if you like. Nothing wrong with it. Just make sure the underlying company is strong. Tesla Inc., formerly Tesla Motors Incorporated, is an American, you know Tesla, right? Electric car company, big one in Palo Alto. It has issued $5 billion worth of stock and, you know, more. And when it did that, all of a sudden started to fall. They do have competitors, you know. So as we go to break, here's my two-part question, trivia question. Do you know the name of the legendary inventor for whom Tesla Motors is named? And you can name two of Tesla's newest competitors. I'm not referring to GM or Ford or Toyota. I'm thinking of newer entities. I'll have an answer after the break, but for now, my phone lines are open, and I encourage your investment questions here at 888-99-CHART.
Numbers are elusive.
But if it goes to zero, do you lose all your money?
They're always changing.
Their debt-to-equity ratio is fairly low.
InvestTalk listeners know it's all about the numbers.
I'm 82. I'm interested in knowing what the recommended withdrawal rate would be.
So the questions keep coming.
I question regarding real estate.
Everything counts.
I was wondering if you could shed a little bit more light on ExxonMobil.
Let's go to Justin in Orlando. He wants to talk about 403Bs.
Let's go to Kurt in Phoenix.
Hi, Steve. Love the show.
Steve Peasley and Justin Klein, thank you for your continued support.
I really appreciate your insight and your understanding of the market and financial business.
Since it all started, the total number of InvestTalk downloads has now exceeded 25 million.
Hi, guys. This is Leanne from San Diego. Love your show. Thanks for answering my question.
InvestTalk.com. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, where InvestTalk hosts and KPP principals Steve Peasley and Justin Klein practice parallel investing. That means Steve and Justin's accounts participate with client investments at equal prices and percentages. You can learn more about parallel investing at investtalk.com.
Chart. So I asked a couple of trivia questions. Do you know the name of the legendary inventor from Tesla's motor cars are named? And can you name two of Tesla's newest competitors? Newest, not GM and Toyota. No, new guys, brand new guys. So here's the answer. Tesla, which trades on the NASDAQ at TSLA, was founded in 2003. And of course, you know it's got those sleek electric vehicles down pat, you know, the leader. The name was inspired by the work of a famed Serbian-American inventor. He's an electrical engineer, a futurist. His name was Nikola Tesla. He lived from 1856 to 1943. So after immigrating to the U.S., Tesla alternating current AC induction motor and related patents licensed by Westinghouse Electric in 1888 earned him a considerable amount of money. Yet he died almost penniless, leaving behind unpaid bills. Okay, can you name two of Tesla's newest EV competitors? There's one called Nikola Corporations, which is his first name, Nikola Tesla. Nikola is an American company that has announced a number of concept zero-emissions vehicles since 2016. It trades on the NASDAQ with the symbol NKLA. Its subsidiary, Nikola Motor Company, just inked a development agreement with General Motors. Did you see that? Lucid Motors, as a privately held company based in Newark, California. Today, they debuted a sneak peek of a new electric vehicle they say will take on Tesla. Why? How? Well, the upcoming Lucid EV is claimed to have a battery pack with a range of 500 miles. 500 miles. Lucid is largely funded by a $1 billion investment from a public investment fund of Saudi Arabia, even though it's an American company up in the Bay Area. Okay, as you probably know, here on Invest Talk, we get to calls from across America. Here comes a question from North Dakota.
Hey, Steve and Justin. My name is Alex, calling from Fargo, North Dakota. Just wanted to say I really like the show, listen to it quite a bit. But yeah, I'm calling about ticker symbol SRNE, Sorrento Therapeutics. Price is about $10.95 right now per share, and giving you a call and see what you think about it. All right. Hope to hear from you. Thanks.
Okay, Sorrento Therapeutics, SRNE, SRNE, headquartered in San Diego, develops therapeutics in the areas of oncology, immunology, and infectious diseases. It's a $1.5 billion company. They're going to make $4.96 this year, but then drop down to $3.45 next year. But they didn't make any money last year. They lost money, $1.92, so they've turned themselves around. Sales are not, it's pretty small. It's a $1.5 billion company, but they only did $9 million worth of sales last quarter. Now, the quarter before is 7.7. A year ago is 6. So they're growing in the right direction, but that's not very big for a $1.5 billion market cap. It's not a lot of sales. They have lots and lots of debt. It's a $6.41 stock. So it looks really cheap because their earnings are sharply, $4.96 this year, so it looks really cheap when you compare it with those earnings. But you got to look at other things too. I mean, the cash flow is actually negative, $1.68. So, it's a risky play. It's one of those stocks that is very, very risky, that it could work out, but there's one that you don't put a lot of money in it, but you could roll the dice on it, but be very, very careful. You'd have to look at what they're developing right now. What do they have in the pipeline? And how good are they? Just because, they may have something going, with a COVID vaccine research and making money there, but we don't know that, and that's highly speculative. So this is one of those stocks that could really take off. I mean, it was $19 not that long ago. Here it is, $6.41. So it really could take off, but last 6 months, it was under $2 a share. That's how volatile it is. Very, very risky. Very, very risky stock. 888-99-CHARTER is our number, everybody. Time to give me a call. The job openings rose to 6.6 million from 6 million. Still, the number of hires fell in July to 5.8 million, a decrease of about 1.1 million. So number of jobs increased, but hiring fell. So there's that issue. Even though unemployment rate really fell hard last week, as reported, much better than expected. So there's issues. We're still working because, we have a reopening from this COVID vaccine situation can be sporadic and difficult. It looks like the overall numbers in the United States are going down. So as long as it's headed in that direction, we should still continue to reopen. Okay. And where the jobs were dropping the most was in the food service and accommodation, hotels, food service. There's 600,000 jobs dropped. So when those things, they're going to be a lot slower to pick up. Some restaurants are never going to reopen. And out here in California, I don't know about where you are, but the restaurants are still not open other than eating outside in my county, at least. I know in San Diego County, they are. You can eat indoors again, but not in Orange County where I am. I don't think in LA either. So it's still a struggle. So until those things get back to some semblance of normal openings, the jobs numbers are going to be kind of all over the place, but they are moving in the right direction generally. And that's good news. Okay, that is really good news. Okay, we have been moving the podcast along at a pretty good clip, so there's no reason to stop. Here comes another caller question from 888-99-CHART.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my message here. I have no exposure to the retail space at all in my portfolio. And I was kind of looking at CVS and mainly Dollar Tree. They had a pretty big pullback. And I was wondering what you thought of I guess Dollar Tree and that sector overall. I haven't been too interested in the box stores at all, but I thought it might be good to have a little bit of exposure. So any thoughts would be appreciated. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Dollar Tree is DLTR. That's the symbol. Let's take a quick look at that. Operates 15,288 discount variety stores. It's a almost $22 billion company. Sales have been increasing 8-9% in the last couple of quarters. Been going up. They were 2-4% before that per quarter. They're going to make $5.22 this year, up 10% from last year, $5.80, up another 11% next year. It's a $91 stock. So there's where your issue is. If they're going to make $5.80 and it's a $91 stock, you know it's a little expensive. It's not outrageously expensive, but it's a little expensive to what it has been in history. The PE range is 13-39, right? So $5.80 means it's only about 15-16 PE. That's not a bad PE. So it's, maybe I'm wrong about being a little expensive. Maybe it's fairly priced. So this might be a good opportunity to get into it. We've had a recent correction, went from 102 down to 91. Personally, right, bounced right the 200-day moving average, I would be a buyer at this price. I have no problem. I think it's a good, healthy company. They don't carry much debt. I like Dollar Tree. I really do. 888-99-CHART, everybody. 888-992-4278. You're listening to InvestTalk. I'm Steve Peasley, and I encourage you to explore the financial and investment information we post on our website, and the website InvestTalk.com, InvestTalk.com with two T's. You can learn about the various investment strategy opportunities we offer at KPP Financial. You know, we have, for instance, an Equity Income Plus program, a dividend investing with a boost. We developed this strategy, and it only holds dividend-paying stocks. But it also adds the boost is from income by riding covered calls. It's called Equity Income Plus. So it depends on what kind of investor you are. Would that be interesting to you? If you're serious about achieving financial freedom, you'll want to reach out to me or Justin Klein at KPP Financial in Irvine, California. You can learn more right now at investtalk.com. Remember, InvestTalk is with two T's. And I'm taking your questions live. 888-99-CHART.
This is InvestTalk. Good news, Steve and Justin have recorded another Rapid Fire Hour podcast. They take caller questions at a faster pace, but you still get their unbiased answers. In this special bonus show podcast, you'll hear responses to 34 finance and investment questions. The theme of the program concerns market processes, best practices for investors, and explanations of various terms and investment opportunities. So tell your friends, search Google Play, Spotify, iTunes, or InvestTalk.com for the free August Rapid Fire Hour. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk, made possible by KPP Financial.
Hi, guys. This is Fernando over in Boston. Great job with the show. Just had a question for you guys on Intel, INTC. I got in at a recent high of around $63, $64, and since then it's plummeted to about like $49 on some negative news. I guess they lost some of the potential Apple business coming up. Just wondering what you thought about this from a long-term play. Should I get out or should I stay in and hope that this thing comes back up? Thanks for your help.
Well, I think Intel now is fairly inexpensive, cheap. It was $60 a share and then dropped all the way down to $49.62. I think that bad news is already built into it. Everybody knows who Intel is, manufacturing microprocessor chipsets. It's a $211 billion company. It pays a 2.7% dividend. I think if you have to ask yourself, why did you buy it? Did you buy it for just a trade? Then I would get out. But as for a long-term blue-chip kind of company, I think it's going to recover. I think it'll come back up to the 60s area. I think by next year sometime we'll be in the 60s. But, you know, I don't think, you know, it's one of the tech stocks that I probably would not own on a long-term basis. Would not own. Because there's others that I like better. Simple as that. INTC. INTC. Okay, 888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. There will be no dot-com implosion, a dot-com-like implosion of our market. I've seen a couple of writings out there about it, worried about it. I think it's overdone. That's not going to happen. Yeah, you're going to have big techs got overpriced, and yeah, there, a lot of them are coming down or have come down. It took a big hit, and they may still come down more. But these the big difference between .com and now, .com, there was all those companies that had no hope of ever making the money, ever, ever. It just had a .com behind its name, and everybody went crazy, thought it was a wonderful thing. Today, all these big tech companies, they make tons of money, and they're growing their money. They're growing their sales. So, yeah, they have a reason to be overpriced. Back then, there was absolutely no reason. So you're not going to have a dot-com-like implosion. So that's something you don't need to worry about. Looking at the program clock, I think we can fit another question, caller question in. This is from my listener in New York.
Hi, this is Ilya calling from New York. I had a question on what your thoughts on investing in growth versus value ETF in a something like a Vanguard and a Roth IRA for someone with like about a 25-year time horizon. I appreciate your input. Thanks.
Well, right at this point, I prefer value, but I probably have both. I prefer value because growth has been working so well for so long that normally this is extremely unusual. And there will be a rollover or switch off to value stocks. But I've been saying that for a couple of years and it hasn't switched off. So you don't abandon growth. I think you have a combination because it's just, I think you have to be in value stocks, but I also think you have to be in growth because they're the ones that everybody falls in love with. And the prices, there are many of them are overpriced, but they stay overpriced and they continue to be overpriced. And the Federal Reserve is guaranteeing you very low interest rates, and the government's probably going to come up with some kind of spending package after the election. There are various reasons. The economy's coming back. Dollars getting weak. I mean, there's reasons why growth should still be working. Now, long-term, we're talking about long-term, 50 years, 100 years, value generally beats growth long-term. But the last 10, 15 years, it hasn't. See, so since 2008, it hasn't. So, you know, you got to have them both. I don't think you should exclude one or the other. I really don't. Okay. On our next InvestTalk, according to a German bank analyst, the age of disorder is here as millennials redistribute wealth. So how could the ongoing technology revolution, work from home policies, cause major changes to societies and economies? For now, I'm Steve Peasley, and I'm ready to take your questions live, 888-99-CHART.
This is InvestTalk. Is your portfolio balanced? Is it optimized? Is it delivering the types of gains you want and need to achieve financial freedom? Well, turn up the volume because there are many questions that deserve unbiased answers. And Steve Peasley is here now, ready to take your calls live. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, my name is Christian. I'm from Los Angeles, California. I'm 22 years old, and I have stocks from Caesar and MGM, and I'm wondering if I should keep them or if I should sell them. Thank you.
Okay, both Caesar and MGM are big casino stocks, right, out of Vegas and different other places, and I'm flipping back and forth of the numbers. Both have about... And one's $11 billion in size, that would be MGM, and the other, Caesars, is $8 billion in size. They both are losing money this year and next. They're going to lose less money next year. They're both sales have been crushed for obvious reasons. They're both going to recover. I don't have any doubt that they're going to recover. So I was looking at debt. Maybe we should look at debt, because that's going to be the hardest thing to service. Service because of the lack of business. And if I was to pick one or the other, I think I'd pick MGM because they have less debt. But both will recover. It's just how long it'll take them, because how long will it take for Vegas to reopen? Simple as that. And that probably won't happen until after we have a vaccine. So that probably won't happen until next year. So should you sell them? What was your reason to buy them? If you bought them for long term, then you keep holding them for long term. You thought if you bought them like a bouncing off of the bottom in March when everything was fell apart, well, this is about, you know, they both have a little bit more ways to go, but they made a pretty good comeback. So it depends on why you bought them. You know, if you bought them for a trade, yeah, time to probably get out. If you bought them for long term blue chip type stock, probably hold on to them. 888-99-CHARGE is our number, everybody. 888-992-4278. Do you realize this is the last month of the quarter? So the end of this month is the third quarter in, and we're moving into the fourth quarter. So there's going to be a lot of interest in how the recovery and corporate profits happen this quarter. Last quarter, there was a lot of interest, and earnings was a lot. The earnings came in a lot stronger than the estimates. And they're going to be, the investors are going to be looking for the exact same thing, stronger earnings. And they're probably going to get them in many areas of the market, in any areas of the economy. In some areas, they won't. Remember, there was a middle part there where the COVID virus sparked up, and you know, here in California, they shut it back down there for a little while. So, you know, there's going to be a little hesitation. That'd be interesting to see how that affects it. But you got to remember, the next quarter, the fourth quarter, is the election quarter. We're going to be, the election is November 7th, 3rd, I don't know, beginning of November. And this is going to be, you know, everybody's going to be looking at this quarter, the one we're in now, numbers, and projecting forward. And it all, you know, the corporations, there is kind of bifurcated out there as far as valuations. You have big tech companies got way overvalued, but the rest of the market, not necessarily. There's a lot of good value stocks out there. And people were, you know, they're still out there. The question is, will the market rotate over to value versus growth? Will people, you know, shy away from the high PE ratios? And you know what? It all comes back to earnings, doesn't it? Where are the earnings going to be? Where will they come from? Now, I think our economy is just going to slowly improve. We will not have 100% recovery until we have a vaccine. I don't think so. What if we don't get a vaccine for 6 months or a year? I think we get it because there's so much money is being poured into it. But when? That's hard to know. We just don't. No one knows. We don't know. Okay? I'm Steve Peasley, everybody. This completes another InvestTalk program. I will return on Friday with highlights from the newest KPP Premium newsletter, which I am getting to work on tomorrow. Please tell your friends and family members that they can choose from over 100 archived InvestTalk podcasts as free downloads. You can get them at iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and InvestTalk.com. Remember, independent thinking, share success. This is InvestTalk. Good night, everybody.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is President and Justin Klein Chief Executive Officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listening line at 888-99-CHART.